Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Point to Point. It's the show where I drive from one point to another and try to get to the point. Today's point. Well, we got ourselves a starting little joke, actually. Do you think they're going to put a Cybertruck in the next Forza Horizon game? I just saw one zip past, and it really, I really wonder, you know, like they put in the Silver Arrow, one of the original, like, 1930s, like, late 30s, I think, Mercedes Auto Union cars, in Horizon 5, I think, whichever one was in Mexico. And it just really, just saw that one zipping by, and it really makes me wonder, they're gonna put a Cybertruck into Forza Horizon. Probably. That sucks. Anyway, today's point, I guess, speaking of Forza and, things that suck, today's point, we're gonna talk a little bit about Xbox. There is a Jason Schreier report that I just saw before I dropped the kiddo off at school, and it is discussing some internal Microsoft strategy nonsense. A little behind the scenes, I've been working on, it's close to 7,000 words now, post on, I guess, a three-part series for the blog that's basically, if I ran Xbox, what I would be doing. And it's mostly just like a fun little thing that isn't really based in any sort of like economic knowledge. It's just if I was handed the Willy Wonka keys to the proverbial candy factory, like what would I do, and you know, how would I change things up just to have a little bit of fun? And so I was joking with some friends yesterday that, oh yeah, like I'll just sit on it. I want to put it out in three parts. So a good like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday post would be good on that one. Or I'll just hold on to it until next week when Microsoft inevitably does something really stupid. And lo and behold, less than 24 hours later, I think probably less than 12 hours later, actually, this Jason Schreier report comes out of Bloomberg. And it's about some internal strategy changes at Xbox, and I guess kind of at Microsoft. It's really hard to talk about Xbox without talking about Microsoft, as is kind of suspected, I guess. But so the big insight that came out of there that is kind of being pointed to as the reason that Xbox has been such an absolute shit show the past year or so, with all of the layoffs, the Game Pass increase from $20 to $30, the, you know, Series X costing $650, truly outrageous stuff. The canceling of all of the games. Remember, there's a handful of games that were canceled recently that have been going on for a while, but just unceremoniously killed. The selling off of Tango Gameworks, probably related. And you know, a bunch of this other stuff that's coming out about Microsoft and what seems like either trying to kill off the Microsoft, like, Xbox brand, or trying to find a way to make all of this AI spend worth it. And I think that in general, which I'll get into a little bit in the If I Ran Xbox blog posts, I think they're going in the wrong direction. And I've thought this for a little bit now. I actually went back, and about 9-10 months ago now, I published a post that was all about, you know, how I expected, how cool Game Pass could be, but, you know, as is our capitalist hellscape, they just spent the least amount of money to make the most amount of money, and they kind of made a mid-tier service that used to be a really good deal and now is more and more questionable. And so the Jason Schreier report basically says the directive from on high for Xbox is 30% profit margin on all things. And it's like, you know, it seems like it's a little bit flexible, but for the most part, you should be selling things at a 30% markup. So the way The way that the article lays it out, which I think is very interesting, is that that is not how games work. You can kind of expect a, it seems between 10 and 20, which is, I guess, like, probably good. But the real struggle here is we're not talking about, like, 30% being like the best that they've ever reached and therefore should try to reach it again. It seems like possibly not even in the 360 era were they hitting those numbers. And most recently, the boom times that we kind of talk about in the gaming industry of the COVID era being like, this is the time when they're making all this money. This is when people are staffing up to, like, deal with this, like, huge boom in the gaming industry, and they weren't hitting it then either. And so you can see how a directive from on high can completely change the strategy of how a company works. And I think this is just, like, typical appease the shareholders nonsense, because really The thing that I think is really confusing to me about all of these moves, the 30%, and then all of the trickle-down effects of that, of, you know, the layoffs, you know, that's how you make profit margin. You pay less people, you have less expenditure, profits go up. So you have less people, you raise your prices. So hopefully if you are selling, you know, 10% less consoles, you have doubled their price, so you're still, like, making a little bit there. Same thing with Game Pass. I think the big bet on Game Pass price increases is that the amount of people that you lose is not equal to the amount of extra profit that you gain. And honestly, we're not going to see the full impacts of that for a little bit, I don't think, but we will be seeing that, probably at least leading indicators of that, when Microsoft gives their earnings report, I think next week, maybe the week after. No, next week. So it's possible that this strategy is working. I mean, obviously, the Microsoft is up. Share prices are up, dude. Like, it's working for them. They're getting those shareholder returns. And so I guess we'll see. We'll see if this actually works out for them. I think the big problem that I've had with it all along, and kind of from the point of the layoffs and the Game Pass increases, the price increases and everything, is that it's not long-term sustainable. Like, as much as they want to talk about a high-end premium device, which is whatever the next Xbox is, the thing that, you know, we're all kind of forgetting about is they don't have the install base anymore, right? Like, they have lost that from the 360 era. It's been completely decimated at this point. The Schreier report also mentions that, you know, Microsoft doesn't put out sales numbers for the, or hardware sales numbers anymore, but it don't look good compared to PlayStation. And so the challenge I see for a lot of Xbox stuff is not, you know, profit. Like, that's, you know, that's, I guess that's business stuff. But the challenge I see for them is that if they're going to stay in this industry, if they're going to continue to try to, you know, milk this money cow, if you will, they have to have a sustainable player base who is playing their games. And I think that's where a lot of this everything is an Xbox stuff came from. And I think it's been pretty clear so far, at least, that's not working. Like, I cannot imagine that the cloud gaming base has expanded since everything is an Xbox as a strategy hit. Or, you know, how many people are actually turning their smart TVs into a cloud gaming Xbox? I imagine that number is incredibly low. And so it kind of leads us to this kind of crossroads with Xbox, where why do this? You know, like, there's two paths, really. Like, path one is, you know, what they're doing now. Raise prices all around. Try to squeeze whatever you can and hope that the reduced amount of sales with the increase in price is enough. You kind of squeeze out the true believers for what you can, and I guess you hope that's good enough. Like, and it's the next part that is like really confusing to me, because like, where do you go from there? So you've already squeezed what you can out of Tim Dog, and then you just expect that all of Tim Dog's friends come along for premium console Xbox in 2027. But if that thing is already, you know, if the 5-year-old console is $650 right now, and you want to have another premium experience, it's got to be $1,000, right? Like, you got to be touching PC prices. And I just really don't know, when you look at the console market, when you look at Xbox, I don't know what premium service they could provide that competes with Sony. And this is kind of the crux of the post I'll be putting, or the couple of posts I'll be putting out over the next couple of days. But I think that that's a mistake. Like, I think that they've already tried to compete against Sony and they've lost. They've lost twice now in rather catastrophic fashions. And so they need to do what Nintendo has done over the past couple of years, kind of for a while now, and decide that they're not playing the game. You know, like, instead of having this arms race competition with Sony, let Sony be the premium box. Xbox needs to find something else. Like, Xbox needs to find a way to differentiate itself, to build out its own niche, because the games sell pretty well, actually, on PlayStation, which is good. Like, they have a games publishing arm now. It's clear that exclusives are not selling consoles, because they're selling super well on PlayStation. People are already embedded in there. So now you just need to find a different way to do it. And I think choosing to say this is Xbox, but even more powerful, even more bigger, even more better, is, I think it's a mistake. And I think that this like 30% profit margin push from the Schreier report is also just a real catastrophic mistake, because like, what, it's not sustainable. Like, it's not something that you can continue doing long term, because you are going to, and it's the thing that kills me about this, I guess, is it falls very much in line with a upcoming episode of 70% Complete. We talk about Call of Duty and general multiplayer degeneracy connected with the white paper that Activision put out 2 years ago now on skill-based matchmaking. And there's a really interesting insight in that paper that we get into at length in the episode. And basically, what it is skill-based matchmaking works because if you remove skill, if you deprioritize skill as a thing in matchmaking, what happens is the bottom 90% of players will have a worse time. And those 90% of players will, over time, they'll quit more, they will come back to the game less, and ultimately, they will just stop playing the game. And what happens then is the player pool drops, so the amount of players fall, and the 10% of players who are having that like one-man army experience, that are having a blasty blast, as all of that bottom 90 falls out, that top 10% is now split across, you know, 100% of the players. And it doesn't take long. The report actually says it takes like less than a few months for that top 10% to be fully distributed across 100% of the players now. So you have, on average, like a crazy skilled base of Call of Duty players. But when you're talking about a huge amount of players, what ends up happening is the same findings hold true. So you take that top 10%, like the best Call of Duty players that are out there, they're having that one-man army experience, having a blast, and then over the next 2 months, the bottom 90 players mostly thin out, drop out, And then that top 10% is spread out across all. Like the skill gap, the skill increases of all players, but that, you know, the gap between the bottom 10 and the top 10 is still there. And then that 90% drops out. And what happens is you have a fully reduced player base of incredibly, like, just sweaty monsters of Call of Duty players. You have, like, the intense super fans who are really good at that game. And then they can't find matches as much because there are less players to fill those matches. And those people start to feel like if you are not the top 1%, if you are in the top 10%, you start to get griefed and then you drop out and you start to have a bad time. And I think that, weirdly, this is what's happening with Microsoft. Like, they continue to push the money barrier to enter Xbox higher and higher and higher so that they are reducing their player base, but the player base that they have are the people who are the diehards. Why would you buy an Xbox then? Like, when you look at Microsoft, or when you look at Nintendo, or when you look at Sony, which one of those is welcoming to you? Because right now, as much as I don't want to buy a Switch 2, it sure is looking like the Switch 2 is the Switch 2 or the Steam Deck, right? Are the places that I would rather spend my money than a place that is like doubling down on making me pay the fan tax to see what Halo Master Chief Man is up to, which I guess, you know, check your watches, but tomorrow I believe that game is going to be announced for the PlayStation. So I don't know. It kind of sucks. It's like a bad time to be like a person who owns an Xbox, and I do generally hate that. Like that's a real big goddamn bummer. But I don't know. It seems like bad strategy. It's clear that most people think it's bad strategy. I will have more to say about this in the coming week or so with the If I Ran Xbox posts. I cannot believe how quickly they just like clearly made me want to publish that just all in one day. Yeah, man. But that's going to do it for today. Go check out Jason Schreier's report. If you follow him on Blue Sky, I think the article that he posts, the link to it, is a gift link. So you should be able to just read that whole report. I know Bloomberg is kind of, you know, businessy and weird about that stuff sometimes. You should be able to read that one, no problem. It's an interesting report. It talks about, you know, how outlandish 30% is, especially for Microsoft, but just in general for everyone. So yeah, go check that out. Support games journalism, all that stuff. And stay tuned for that If I Ran Xbox article. It's broken into three parts. The first one that'll go out is hardware. The second one that will go out is the games and studios. And then the third post will be all about Xbox services like Game Pass and a couple other fun ones in there, you know? Because the beautiful thing about being a Willy Wonka scenario is that you can just dream big and you just make up silly shit. And someone will say, that's a great idea or that's an idiotic idea. And I don't really care because it was fun. So yeah, thanks for hanging out with me. I got to go hop on this train and head into the real job. But we'll catch you next time. See ya.